Today's shiur is Masechta Beya Daf Tes, and we will begin on Daf Ches Amud Beis, the fifth wide line. Yesterday, we had quoted a Mishnah that taught us that a koi that was slaughtered on Yontif, we cannot cover its blood. And Rava explained that the case of the Mishnah was where we had Afer Kira, ash of an oven that was prepared Levadai, that was prepared only for definite use, not for a suffic use. Given that the covering of the dam of a koi is a suffic, such Afer Kira may not be used to cover its dam. Meaning, as we explained, that if one were to specifically designate the Afer Kira to use for a koi, according to that, and according to Rava's interpretation of the Mishnah, it would be permitted. Rami Breder of Yeba has a different approach in understanding the Mishnah. But just to review another din that we discussed yesterday, the halacha is that by a behema, there is no chiv to do kisui hadam, but to eat the chaylev of a behema is an issa deraisa. By chayv ha'oif, there's a chiv deraisa to do kisui hadam, but the chaylev is not osim deraisa. Says Rami Breid Rav Yeva, Omar, koi hayna tam delam chsinen, the reason the blood of a koi is not covered if it's slaughtered on Yontif, gzeir mishum hataras chavoy. If one will see us cover the blood of a koi, we will certainly believe it's a behema. And if it's a behema, they will think it's a chaya. And if it's a chaya, we'll allow to eat the chaylev. That's why Chazal said we shouldn't cover the dam of the koi. Ask the Gemara if that is the concern, that by covering the dam of the koi, we may come to eat its chaylev. Even during the week, we should not be allowed to cover the dam of the koi for this concern. Answers the Gemara. If somebody sees us covering the dam of the koi during the week, they're going to say it's not because there's a mitzvah of kisui hadam. They're going to say the reason it's being covered is because I want to clean out my yard. Yontif, when people aren't covering their yards, must be because it's mechuyev in kisui hadam. Frecht asked the Gemara, Shach ba'ashpa ma'ikla meima, what will happen if somebody does the shechita in a trash heap? Where there people will not say he's cleaning it out, he's covering it to clean it out. It's an area which is dirty anyway. Or ba'al limlach ma'ikla meima, if somebody were to come and ask, what is the din regarding the kisui hadam of a koi, and during the week we tell him it has to be covered, why aren't we concerned that he will come to eat the chaylev? Answers the Gemara, El b'chol, inami misafka, during the weekday, even though if the status of a koi is a suffix, amli rai, people will say, amli rabbanon zil tarafichsi, the rabbanon made us do the tircha, go out of the way to cover it because it's a suffix and they don't know what the status is, so l'chumra we cover it. However, b'yontif imisabki mi'amalei rabbanon zil terefeksi, if it's a suffix, would have Chazal allowed us to cover it? So people will make the error in believing that if we are allowed to cover the blood of a koi on yontif, it must be because it's definitely required kisui hadam. And if it's definitely requiring kisui hadam, they'll make a mistake and think that you're allowed to eat the chaylev of it because they think it's a chaya. So the Mefarshim explain what is the fundamental difference between Rami Bar Yeba's pshat and Rava's pshat. Is that we have Afer Muchan specifically designated for covering the dam of the koi. According to Rava, then we would cover the dam on Yontif. According to Rami Bar Yeba, because of an error that may happen, then the halacha is you're not allowed to even cover it on Yontif with Afer Muchan. The Farshim also point out that although the koi may be mechuyev and kisei dam midaraisa. So how could Chazal tell us not to do the kisei dam? So they explain, because the Chazal have the ability to tell us not to do something b'shev al taisa. Since they're not telling us to do actively something incorrect, they're just telling us don't do kisei dam. Chazal always have that right to do. The Farshim also discuss who are we concerned will make the mistake by if we cover the dam of a koi. Is it that we're concerned that the person who actually is covering that dam will make the mistake that it's chaylev, or we concern people seeing him cover the dam of the koi? Because they explain the difference would be, what would be if it's covered not in the regular fashion? If the concern is that he himself will come to make a mistake, so that concern doesn't exist here. But if the concern is that somebody else will learn from him to make an error, so then doesn't make a difference if it's he, even if he knows what is going on, there's still a concern that somebody else will make an error. Tanya Reb Zeira. So Reb Zeira says, Loi Kriyoi Bilvad Amru, not only do we say that the dam of a koi that was slaughtered on Yontif should not be covered, even if somebody shechted together a behema which is not mechuyim kisei dam, chayiv oif, which are mechuyim kisei dam, and all of their blood gets intermingled, you're not allowed to cover that blood on Yontif because there's dam mixed in here which is not requiring kisui. There's a machloikis how to understand this Gemara. Are we saying that even if we have a fakira available, Rav Zeira is teaching us that we're not allowed to use that prepared a fakira to cover intermingled blood because we're going to be using that a fakira to cover blood that we're not supposed to? And according to that understanding, that's what the Marama understands, actually, Rav Zeira is not a noob shot. He's actually just an extension of what Rami Bereder of Yeba said. The Rami Bereder of Yeba said that we're never allowed to cover the dam of a koi. Says Rav Zeira, the same thing will be if the blood of a behemoth chayv oif are mixed up, you're not allowed to use it. Or, the Shah HaMelech learns that Rav Zeira will agree that a fakira, which is not muksa, may be used to cover the blood of a dam chai v'oif, because there's no halacha concern in using such afer. According to that, Reb Zeira is not agreeing with Rami Bereder of Yeba. Rather, Reb Zeira is introducing a new concept that you're not allowed to do a tircha shaloi l'tzoyrich unless it's completely prepared. Amar Reb Yosef Bar Yosef, loy shanu. When did Reb Zeira say that we're not allowed to cover the dam that's mixed up with it can't be covered with one shovelful? If it can be covered with one shovelful, mutter, then it may be covered. Because since when I'm using that shovelful, I'm certainly covering dam chayvoif, because that one shovelful covers all the blood, that's why even Rav Zeira will agree can be used. Ask the Mapshita, of course, I'm covering the dam of a chayiv oif, why should it be asur? Answer the Gemara, ma de tema, nigza de kira achas otu shtei de kiras, that we should not be allowed to cover the dam that's mixed up, dam chayiv oif, even if I could cover all of it with one shovelful of afer, because I may come to use two shovelfuls, which is prohibited. And why is it prohibited with two shovelfuls? Because we're concerned that the two shovelfuls don't, each shovelful will only cover a certain area, and that area that's covered may be just dam behema under that, in that area, which may not be covered. So I would think that even when it can be covered in one shovelful, I should not be allowed to. Kamash Malon teaches us the Gemara that if it can be covered with one shovelful, then we indeed may cover the dam behem chayv oif that are mixed together. The Mishnah Berurah, however, says that let's say it can't be covered with one shovelful, then the halacha is that I can't even cover one shovelful. I would think, says the Mishnah Berurah, that I should at least be allowed to do one shovelful. Says the Mishnah Berurah, since I can't do two, I'm not allowed to even do one. And according to the way we explained the Gemara, it's very understandable, because I may end up not covering something that requires covering on Yontif. The Paiskim point out, in learning this Gemara, that we've discussed in our Mishnah, previous shear, if there's a deck of knots, if there's a shovel already in the ground, there the halacha is that we're allowed to take that shovelful and use it on Yontif to cover the dam that was uncovered during the Shechita. So the Mefarshim asks, what would be the halacha? When we learned the deck of knots, we learned that it's not simple to be allowed to use a deck of knots. Muksa and Chayrish and Teichen. What's the halacha? Could we only use one decker shovelful, or could we use many? So they want a proof that you could use many. Because the Gemara is saying here, strictly in this case, when we have Behem Chai V'Oif together, that's when I could only use one shovelful. It seems to be that if there's more than one, if it's only Dam Chai V'Oif, I would be allowed to cover it with more than one shovelful, using a deck of knots. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Shochet Tzipa Merav Yontif, if one shechted a bird in Erev Yontif, Ein Mechasen Esav Yontif. We're not allowed to cover that blood on Yontif. And as Mefarshim explained, given that the halacha is that on Yontif we're allowed to eat the meat of a tzipor or a chaya, even though Kisi Adam wasn't done, so here, when they shechted this tzipor Erev Yontif, they should have done the Kisi Adam on Yontif, on Erev Yontif, before Yontif. So they're not allowed to do that Kisi Adam on Yontif, but that doesn't impede them from eating the flesh of the tzipor. The question to be asked, which we will try to soon explain, is when Rava says this thing, that if you shechted a tzipor on Erev Yontif, you're not allowed to cover its blood on Yontif, is that going to be the din even if you have a fakira that was specifically prepared? What will Rabbi hold under that circumstances? We'll soon come back to that. The halacha is that when one makes a dough, he has to remove challah from it. That portion of challah that was removed would be given to the kohen. The halacha is that on Yontif, one is not allowed to separate challah from a dough in the normal fashion. There are two main reasons given in the Rishonim. One is mesaken; it prepares the dough, it fixes, so to speak, the dough, then now you're allowed to eat the dough. Until you take off the challah, you're not allowed to eat the dough. And the other reason is because it's magdish. It's like you're being magdish that portion to have Kedushas Challah, and in Yontif you're not allowed to be Magdish. Tells us Rava, Gilgal Isam Erev Yontif, if somebody prepared a dough on Erev Yontif, the halacha will be Mafrish Minan Chalas B'Yontif. He will be allowed to take off the Challah on Yontif. So there's a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to approach this Gemara. First we'll quote Tosfos' approach, because it's a little easier to understand. Tosfos has two Pshatim. One pshat Tosfos says is that the halacha is that dough, that when is there a chiyuv to take challah from a dough? It's only when the dough has been completely prepared. Says Tosfos, the case that the Gemara here refers to is a dough that although it was begun to be prepared on Erev Yontif, it actually was completed on Yontif, so the chiyuv challah did not come till Yontif, and that's why the halacha is mafresh mena chalos b'yontif. That's one pshat Tosfos says. Another pshat that Tosfos says is that our Gemara is referring to chalas chutzlarts, the challah that we take from dough and chutzlarts, which whose chiyuv is only midrabanan. So since it's only midrabanan, Chazal said we could take off that challah, even though the dough was made erev Yontif, the challah could be removed on Yontif. But Rashi has an entirely different approach to this Gemara. Rashi's approach to this Gemara is that there's a fundamental difference between taking challah and taking and doing kisui hadam. Rashi says that since on Yom Tov we're allowed to prepare a dough, we're allowed to bake a dough, so therefore we're allowed to prepare and bake, therefore we could also take off challah, because that's part of the process of preparing a dough to be baked. Says the Maram, what is Rashi saying? What Rashi's saying is that since there's a permissible way to take off challah on Yom Tov, that's why even if the challah was prepared from Erev Yom Tov, you could take it on Yom Tov. Asks, says the Maram, given that using Eifa Kira is 100% mutar l'chatchila, because Eifa Kira is not muksa, and Eifa Kira is not a problem of chayrish and kaitish, so that's why Rashi would agree that even if the bird was slaughtered on Erev Yom Tov, you would be allowed to use Eifa Kira on Yom Tov itself. That's how the Maram learns. Pnei Yeshua, although agreeing conceptually with the Maram and saying that if Rashi is teaching us that anything that's mutal chatchila on Yom Tov, even if the thing was prepared Erev Yom Tov, may be done on Yom Tov, he says that you can't compare the situation of Eifa Kira to taking challah. So, and Pnei Yeshua explains. In taking challah, says the Pnei Yeshua, we only take challah when we bake dough, when we bake a bread. And baking is 100% permitted on Yom Tov, and therefore taking challah included with that is mutter. However, says the Pnei Yeshua, the issue of using Eifa Kira is not specifically related to Kisui Hadam. Eifa Kira is related to the din of covering. Eifa Kira is related to the din of Muksa. Muksa has nothing specifically to do with covering dam, with Kisui Dam. So therefore, since the issue of Muksa remains, even though Eifa Kira is mutter, it still cannot be done if the animal was slaughtered on Erev Yom Tov. Avud Shmuel, however, disagrees, and he says, "Afila Gilgal Isa Erev Yom Tov, even if somebody prepared the dough on Erev Yom Tov, Ein Mafresh Menach Chalos B'Yom Tov, you're not allowed to take off that challah on Yom Tov." Ask the Gemara, "Lema Pliga de Shmuel, Avua, should we say that Shmuel disagrees with his father? Dama Shmuel, Shmuel says, Chalas Chutz Loritz, if somebody's eating, wants to eat a challah in Chutz Loritz, and he realizes that challah was not removed from it, what should he do? Oichav Oichel, he should continue eating from this bread, Vach Kach Mafresh, and leave over a pot to separate challah afterwards. So according to this, what are we seeing? That taking off challah doesn't make the bread edible. What's the proof? Because I could eat it without taking off challah. So the way we explain the Gemara, why does Avud Shmuel say that you're not allowed to take off challah on Yom Tov? Because as we said before, taking off challah is a ma'isa tikkun. It's making the bread edible. And it's worth to say over a vart for Rav Ozna in the Shalos HaTshuvos Shevet Alevi. He says, even though normally there's no concept of tikkun, Baruchlin, if somebody takes a food that's not really edible and he adds spices to it, it's not asur on Shabbos Yom Tov. That, he says, is only because we're adding taste to the food. But to make a food which was prohibited into permitted, so Avud Shmuel is telling us is asur. But according to Shmuel, we're not accomplishing anything, because the halacha is I'm allowed to eat this bread and it wouldn't be a problem, even though challah hasn't been removed, because Shmuel tells us just keep on eating until we come to the end. And by the end, that part you leave over. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how much has to be left over? Rashi says that you just have to leave over the amount that you're going to want to use for challah. Tosfos says you have to leave over a little more, so when you take the challah after Yom Tov, it will not just be that the challah portion was left over. From here we see, point out the Paiskim, that even though l'chatchila The halacha is that when should challah be removed from the dough? When you have the whole dough in front of you. And halacha, that's called min hamukaf. But the evid, even if it's not min hamukaf, here we ate up most of the bread, still that frosh's challah is effective. So the Gemara's question is Shmuel disagreeing with his father? Amar Rav tells us, Rava, mi lo mai de Shmuel. Won't Shmuel agree? Im karal Hashem, that if somebody did indeed take off challah, shesur lazorim, that it, that portion that's taken off, zorim may not eat, a non-kohen may not eat. So even though we have this accepted method of taking off the challah by leaving it at the end, that doesn't mean that taking it off and you didn't do it that way is not considered a maisa, is not considered an action, and it has a relevance because that part is mutter to kohanim and not to zorim, and therefore it, even Shmuel will agree that it should not be done on Yontif. So there are two ways of understanding this last point of the Gemara. One way of explaining is the way the Mishkan Siakov explains. Mishkan Siakov explains, based on what we said before, that we said that in taking off challah on Yontif, there are two concerns. One is a Maisa Tikkun, and one is that it's like you were magdish something. Says the Mishkan Siakov, that's Peshat in the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that according to Shmuel, that we could eat the challah and leave over a portion, so by taking it off, I'm not really doing a Maisa Tikkun, because I could have eaten the challah anyway. Says the Gemara, you might not have done a Maisa Tikkun, but you did a Maisa Hegdish by designating a portion to be considered the challah. And that is also Asur on Yontif. The Chazanish has a different approach. He learns that the Gemara's entire consideration was only Tikkun. And the Gemara in the Maskan is saying that since if I actually do take off a portion of challah, Huvra Adavar, to the concept of Breira, which works here because it's a Drabonon, Chalos Chutzlar, it's a Drabonon, it turns out that I did a Maisa HaFrosha on Yontif, retroactively making the dough permitted and taking off the status of Tevel from the rest of the Challah, and that's why Shmuel will agree that it should not be done on Yontif. What will be the Halacha, given now that we say that if a dough was prepared from Erev Yontif, the challah should not be taken off in Yontif, what should one do under such circumstances? So Mr. Brura, Shulchan Aruch Rav, both say what he should do is prepare and bake new breads. The halach is that a new dough that was prepared on Yontif certainly will have to take challah from it, and therefore you'll take the challah from the newly prepared dough, which you were allowed to do on Yontif, on behalf of the dough that was prepared from Erev Yontif. There are really a lot of interesting shailas that are discussed in the Paiskim regarding this concept. We'll mention just two. One shaila is, the halacha is that if challah is chutz laretz, we're saying that if somebody realizes that challah wasn't removed from the bread that he's eating, oichel v'hoylech, he should eat and leave over. But that, what will be if Erev Pesach is Shabbos? And one realizes that from the challah that he's eating on Erev Pesach, challah wasn't removed. Here he can't leave over the challah, because if he leaves over the challah, it's chametz, and now it's almost Pesach. He'll be over by your raw or by your matzah. So the Mishnah Brewer discusses the shaila, and he says, under these circumstances, even though challah nowadays is not given to a kohen, he says, under these circumstances, this challah should be given to a kohen or to a kohen katan. That's difficult psak, given that we're not sure who the kahanim are and who's a Torah kohen. So other paiskim want to suggest two different types of approaches. One approach is that we should take off challah, especially challah chutzlot, we can take off just a little, take off less than a kezayis. And as we've learned last week, that on less than a kezayis, there's no issa bayirah bayimotzah, and that can remain. But that will lead itself to another shayla that we discussed in the previous shiurim. Is there an issa bayirah bayimotzah on a chatzi shir? So another approach given is to take that portion that's taken for challah, which now you have to get rid of to avoid the problem of bayirah bayimotzah, and put it amongst other things that are mutter, and it should become bottle b'roiv, And like that, you'll be allowed to eat it. That too is a concern because it's a question of bittul issur l'chatchila. Another shaila that I saw is in Eretz Yisrael, where this approach that our Gemara suggests of eating the bread and then leaving over the last portion is not acceptable, because the chiv of removing chal in Eretz Yisrael is a chiv deraisa. They realized one year in Eretz Yisrael that the matzahs that were baked in the bakery, they had not removed chal, they were not mafresh chal from it. And now it's Pesach by night. What are they to do? Because even if they could tell people that they have matzahs that are tevel, the approach that our Gemara gives of leaving over some chal at the end will not work in Eretz Yisrael, where there's a chiv to mafresh chala midaraisa. So the Rav Shulei Diskin discusses the shaila, the Michis Yitzchak discusses the shaila, and they want to suggest that an interesting approach. The halach is that a cotton hamufla, a cotton that's already samach lish, a cotton that's 12 years old, even though he's not mechuy b'mitzvahs, he does have the ability to do financial transactions. So what we should do is, all of the matzahs, we should be makna to him. He should own the matzahs. And now, since he's still a cotton, he doesn't have an isser to be mafresh chala on yontif, and he should be mafresh chala on behalf of all the matzahs that were baked. The Mishnah now continues discussing machloikas v'sham v'sil regarding hilchas yontif. They used to have what's called a shoivich. A shoivich is a nest where they kept birds, and they used to have a special type of ladder that they used to climb up to get the birds from the nest. Sulam shal shoivich. They really had another type of ladder, which we will discuss soon in the Gemara, called sulam shal aliyah, which was a ladder used to climb up to the attic. Says the Mishnah, "B'shamay Imrim, ein melichem sulam b'shayvich l'shayvich." We're not allowed to carry the ladder from one nest to another nest on Yontif. Avol matayu mechaloyim mechaloyim. We could tilt it from the opening of one nest to the next. B'sil matirim, B'sil says we could actually move it. Amar of Chanan Barami. So Rav Chanan Barami explains the machloikis of Beisham and Beisil. Machloikis b'shus harabim. The machloikis between Beisil and Beisamai is in b'shus harabim if you could carry this ladder or not. And as Tosfos points out, obviously the birds are small birds that you could that there's no issue that if you'll take the birds out, you'll be over the malach of tzeid of capturing. These birds can't fly away. So the machloikis according to Rav Chanan is Rishus Rabim. The Beshameh Savrai Roy Oimer Latif Gagu Tzorich. The Beshameh says that if somebody sees me carrying the ladder, he's going to say, why am I carrying the ladder? Because I want to fix my roof, which is Osir on Yontif. Well, Beisil Savri Shaivcha Mechichalav. Beisil heard that's not a concern. The nest proved that that's not my purpose. And as the Mefarshim explained, number one, as we explained before, since the ladder looks different, and number two, since he's carrying it to a place where there's a nest, that is a proof that his purpose is not to fix his roof. His purpose rather is to just get birds that are mutter on Yontif. To carry such a ladder in Shusha Yochid, Beishamai, Beisil, Divrei Hakam Mutter, there's no concern that people are going to say that I'm doing something wrong. Ask the Gemara, Aini, is this true? Vamar Yehuda Merav, Kamakam, Sha'ostru Chachamim, Ibn Maris Ayin. Whatever Chazal said is also because of Maris Ayin, that people will accuse you that you're doing something wrong. I feel Bechadrichad Dorim Osir, you're not allowed to even do it in the most private area. So if it's Osir, Brishus Harabim, according to Beis Shammai, it should be Osir even Brishus Hayochid. And like Tosfos says, even though Rav is an Amoira, and Beis Shammai is a Tana, still the Gemara asked the question, because Rav's positions, given that he was the Gol Hador and the Rosh Yeshiva, were generally accepted. So the question is, how is Rav's position going to fit what Beis Shammai said? Says the Gemara, Tanoihi. It's really Machloikas Tanoim, if something that's also Maris, because Maris Ayin is also both even B'chad V'chador. The Tanya, Shaitchim V'chama, if somebody's clothing becomes wet, he's allowed to put him out in the sun to dry on Shabbos, even though people may accuse him that he's cleaned on Shabbos, which he's not allowed to do. Avloy k'negra'am. So we see that the Tanna Kamma differentiates between Rosh Hashanah Yochid and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So this position that we're attributing to Beis Shammai that also distinguishes between Rosh Hashanah Yochid and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim will go like the Tanna Kamma. Rav Lazar and Shimon hold like what Rav said, that you're not allowed to, that if something's also because of Maris Ayin, it's also even B'chadrei Chadorim. And why did Chazal actually make such a din that something's also because of Maris Ayin, it's also even B'chadrei Chadorim? The Mefarshim give a number of reasons. One is because Chazal, when they make a rule, don't make any differences. It's also, it's always also. Another thing is, you may think that you're doing something in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, where actually people may see you. Another reason I saw is that people, if people will start being lenient and doing something in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, they may come also to do it Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which we're learning now is also. This din, that something that's also because of Maris Ayin, is not only also Rosh Hashanah Yochid, it's also B'chadrei Chadorim, is relevant in our times also. Say to Rishonim, and that's the Halach L'maisa, this din is only by something which is Osir Midaraisa, where the concern is that somebody is doing something which is Osir Midaraisa. Where the concern is that the person is only doing something which is a Drabbanon, we don't say this rule. And where is this relevant? It's relevant that Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Simon Pei Zayin, discusses if somebody is eating poultry or meat, and he's also drinking Cholav Shkedim, which means almond milk, or in our world it would be the non-dairy milk, which is really non-dairy. Are you allowed to eat it together? So the halacha is that if you're using it together with poultry, with a chisr of basar oif and cholav is only the rabbanon, so there we could be more lenient. But by meat, basa behema, where the isser of eating with cholav is deraisa, the halach is you're not allowed to eat it without having the almonds on the table, a sign that you can notify everybody that what you're eating is not milchigs, it's parv. It's interesting, the Pesach Tshuva says that even by basa oif, we were saying, since it's Issa Drabonon, we're not so concerned with Maris Ayin, that's only if you're eating it in the privacy of your home. But if you're eating it Berabim, says the Pesachei Tshuva, one should be careful to put, even though it's only an Issa Drabonon, to make some sort of a sign that everybody should know it's Parav. We also learned here that Halacha is that one should not dry his clothing because it looks like he's washed it on Shabbos, Yontif. So the Pesach can just make 2 points. They make more than 2 points. We'll mention 2 points. One is that if the clothing were hung out to dry already before Shabbos Yontif, they may remain outdoors on Shabbos Yontif also. And number two, if it's obvious that they got dirty, the example always given are diapers or children's clothing that are very noticeably dirty, people will realize that they weren't washed on Shabbos Yontif. That's just the way people act, that they hang these things out and they may be hung out on Shabbos and Yontif. Ikadamri, but there's a different version of what Rav Chanan bar Ami said. Machloikis, according to this version, the machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is strictly Rosh Hashanah Yochid. The Beis Shammai islud Rav Yehuda bar Rav. Beis Shammai agrees what Rav Yehuda bar Rav said, that if it's also to carry a ladder in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because people were afraid that people are going to say that he's carrying his ladder to do malacha, it's also Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Beis Hillel less lay to Rav Yehuda bar Rav. Beis Hillel doesn't agree with Rav Yehuda bar Rav, and although Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the ladder may not be carried, Rosh Hashanah Yochid, it may be carried. Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Divrei Akel also, everybody will agree that it's also. And the Mefarshim explain why would we want to, what forces the Ikad Amri to take this approach. One is because they had a difficulty in accepting that Beis Shammai is lenient in carrying the ladder any time. And number two, our Mishnah doesn't seem to make any such difference in Beis Shammai. And moreover, since most ladders were Rosh HaSayachit, it makes sense to say that the machloikas between Beis Sham and Beis Hillel is taking place in Rosh HaSayachit. And what is the basis of Beis Shammai's psak? That since the ladder may not be carried in Rosh HaSarabim, it should not be carried in Rosh HaSayachit either. Ask the Gemara, Lamer Rav Domek Beis Shammai. So this position the Rav took, that when something is also because of Maris Ayin, it's usher both Rosh HaSarabim and Rosh HaSayachit b'chad b'chadarm, is actually the position of Beis Shammai, not the position of Beis Hillel. Ask the Gemara. We know that the halacha is always like Beis Shammai. So is Rav taking, is always like Beis Hillel? Is Rav taking Beis Shammai's side? Says the Gemara, Tanoihi. The Rav Chanan, what he's saying regarding the machloikis of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only based on the way the Tanakama holds. That we learned the Tanakama hold the Tanya, Shaitch Bechama, if somebody's clothing gets wet, he could spread them out in the sun to dry, Avaloi Kinegra'am. So the Tanakama holds that this Maris Ayin, Rosh HaSarabim, not Rosh HaSayochid. According to that Shita, says Rav Chanan, will Beis Hillel hold that Rosh HaSarabim, I will not be allowed to carry the ladder, and Rosh HaSayochid, I will be allowed to carry the ladder. Rabbi Lezer of Shimon, Isim. Because according to Rabbi Lezer of Shimon, you're not allowed to, we don't make a difference between Rosh HaSarabim and Rosh HaSayochid. Says the Gemara that indeed Rav Chanan will agree that according to Rabbi Lezer of Shimon, it will be mutter to carry the ladder both in Rosh HaSayochid and Rosh HaSarabim according to Beis Hillel, because we can't make a difference by Maris Ayin between Rosh HaSayochid and Rosh HaSarabim. Says the Gemara, Masnis Ndloikai Tana. Our Mishnah is not like the Tana of this Braisa. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Amram Shim Ben Lozer, Maidim Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, both Beis Shammai Beis Hillel agree, Shemalichin Es Sulam, Mishoivich Lishoivich. They were allowed to carry a ladder from one nest to the next, another nest. Leinechalku Elahachzer. The Machlaik was only if you're allowed to bring it back to its original place. Shebeis Shammai Emachzer, Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to. Or Beis Hillel, Af Machzirim, they could be even carried back. And as the Chassam Sofer explains, this Machloikis, like this. Chassam Sofer says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree that you could carry the ladder to a nest. Why? Because Simchas Yontif, we want to be able to have the birds to eat on Yontif, so you're allowed to carry. The only question is, are you allowed to carry it back? Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to carry it back. Carrying back is not Simchas Yontif. I already got the bird I need. Leave the ladder where it is by the nest. Beis Hillel say, if we're not going to allow you to carry the ladder back, we're concerned that you're not going to take the ladder in the first place. And there's a concept of a tirus soifad mishum tchiloson. The Chazal were makel in allowing you to do something even though the original reason doesn't apply, because they're concerned otherwise you won't do it in the first place. Continues the Braisa, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, regarding, when is this said, Basulam Shel Shoivach, regarding the nest ladder, Ava Basulam Shel Aliyah, the ladder that was used to work on the attic, Devei HaKol Asa. Everybody agree you can't use that ladder. Rabbi Dois Amar, Matei Mechaloin Chaloin. He could tilt it from one nest to the next. We could walk a ladder. That means we could take the ladder. If one opening is too far, he could hold the ladder up and shifting it a small amount at a time from nest to nest. Says the Gemara. The children of Rechi, the sons of Rechi, went out to the villages to inspect their fields. When they came back, the father asked them, were any shailas lalocha presented to you? Amle sulam bali adenu, a question of carrying a sulam shlalia, an attic ladder, was brought us, vitanua. And we said it may be carried. Amlehem, tsu v'isru mashitartem. Go back and say what you said was permitted is really prohibited. Inusava, because what was their mistake? They said, midakama amra Yehuda. Since in the Braisa, we just learned, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Sulam shel shuvach." We have the machloikis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. May the comment Rabbi Yehuda b'sulam shel aliyah. Since Rabbi Yehuda says that b'sulam shel aliyah loy pligi, that there's no machloikis by Sum Shalaliyah, that in Sum Shalaliyah, according to Yehuda, both by Sham and by Sila hold, you're not allowed to carry it. Mechlal, they understood that the Tana Kama holds Pligi, that according to the Tana Kama, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing even regarding a Sulam Shalaliyah. And both, everybody agrees that a Sulam Shalaliyah can be carried to a nest. So that's why they said the Sulam Shalaliyah may be carried. Said Reb Chitren V'lohi, you understood Reb Yehuda incorrectly. Reb Yehuda is not coming to argue on the Tana Kama. Rather, Reb Yehuda Tam the Tana Kama come a farish. Reb Yehuda is explaining the position of Tana Kama, and he's saying that even though the Tana Kama says that Bisham and Beisila hold your ladder, carry a ladder, says Reb Yehuda, what kind of ladder may be carried? A sulam shel shuvach, but a sulam shel aliyah, says Reb Yehuda, the Tana Kama holds may not be carried ever because of the concern that people think that you're using it to work. And Tosfos points out that even though normally when words are introduced, when a position is introduced with the words B'med V'Varim Amurim, and indicates that this is a difference of a position, it's a machlaikis, says Tosfos, that's only in a Mishnah. Here, however, we're referring to a Braisa, and therefore B'med V'Varim Amurim can be an explanation of the original position. Memai. Says the Gemara, what makes Rabbi Chiya explain the Braisa this way? Midik Tani, since we learned in the Braisa, Melichin as a Sula Meshuvach L'Shuvach. The Braisa says we could carry the ladder from one nest to the next. V'sal K'daitech, B'sulam Shalaliyah Pligi, if we're going to say that B'sham B'sul are even discussing a Sulam Shalaliyah, Hai Melichin as a Sula Meshuvach L'Shuvach, the Braisa should not say we're carrying a ladder from one nest to the next. Melichin as a Shuvach, Sulam L'Shuvach M'Bailei, we're allowed to carry the ladder to a nest. If we're talking about a Sulam Shal Shuvach, so this, where is that Sulam located? By a nest. And the Braisa is telling us we can carry it from one nest to the next. But if it's a Sulam Shalit, but not by a nest at all. So why does it say M'Shuvach L'Shuvach? Ella, Lav Hachikomer. What is the Tanakhama saying? Shal Shuvach in. Only a Sulam Shal Shuvach may be carried. So Aliyah tells us the Braisa Loi may not be ever carried, and that was what Reb Chiya was telling his sons. There was no heter, there was no right for you to say that a Sulam Shal Aliyah may be carried. Vidach, what was the mistake that the children, the sons of Reb Chiya made? Miktani Sulam Shal Shuvach. The Braisa doesn't use the word Sulam Shal Shuvach. Mishuvach L'Shuvach Tani. The Braisa says we move it one next to the next. Means afilu kav mishuvchim. It can be carried to men nests. That's what the Braisa is talking about. But it's talking, they thought it's even talking about a Sulam Shal Aliyah. Ikadamri, another version of what the conversation between Reb Chiya and his sons was. The question was, Hiti Sulam Shal Aliyah Bal Yodeinu. They were asked the question if we're allowed to tilt the Sulam of Aliyah, Vertanua, and they said we're allowed to. And Amalam Rabbi Chiya told them, Tzuva Isru Ma'ashutartem, he made an error. What was the basis of the error? Inu Sover, Reb Chiya's children held, Maida Ka'osu Tanakama Kashar Reb Daisa. The Tana Kama holds, Reb Yehuda holds, that you're not allowed to carry a Sulam Shal Aliyah. And they thought that what Reb Daisa came to say was that although you're not allowed to carry a Sulam Shal Aliyah, you're allowed to tilt it. And that's why they permitted the tilting of a Sulam Shal Aliyah. V'lohi, but that was incorrect. Maida Kashori Tana Kama Kas Reb Daisa. Reb Daisa wasn't being more lenient than the Tana Kama. He was actually being more stringent. Tanakama held, Rabbi Yehuda held, that you're not allowed to use a Sulam Shal Aliyah, but a Sulam Shal Shayvach you are allowed to carry. And Rabbi Daisa came along and said that even that Sulam Shal Shayvach that Rabbi Yehuda is being lenient with, says Rabbi Daisa, you can't just carry it, you can only tilt it. But no one holds you can move a Sulam Shal Aliyah even by tilting, and that's why they made an error, and that's what Reb Chiya told them was their mistake. Just to complete our shiur, the shaila of a ladder on Shabbos Yom Tov, as one allowed to climb a ladder, move a ladder, discussed by the Mishnah Berurah, and he says certainly if a ladder is in its place and you just want to climb on top of it, it's certainly permitted, even if it may move. The question is, a house ladder which is a ladder that's used only indoors for permissible uses, certainly the Paiskim say may also be moved on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The discussion in the Paiskim is the ladders that are used indoors and outdoors, may they be used, may not they not be used. Some are mekel, always, some Paiskim, some are always machmer. It seems from the Mishnah Berurah that in the house we would be allowed to move it. Outdoors, we would not be allowed to move it.